Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read from verses 1 to 14. Ephesians 1, chapter 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of the trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today, and we just want to hear your word. We want to open up our hearts, God, and humble ourselves, Lord, to hear what it is that you have to say. We want to come before you, and we want to respond. We want to worship you, God. We want to be in your presence, Lord, and just bring us to that place, God, where we see and we just see how sweet your presence is, God, how wonderful being in your presence is, God. So, Lord, may you come. Speak to us, God. Be with us in this time now. We thank you. Pray these things in your son's most precious name. Amen. Janella from staff sent all the staff an article, I think it was two nights ago, about a certain thing about social media. I forget what the title was, but it was a pretty long read, and I was skimming through it. But one of the things that it was emphasizing was how there's all these pitfalls to social media. And we all know this very well because we understand how, you know, cell phones are actually partially addictive, you know, if you don't understand how to manage it well. And one of the things that I was saying, actually, the people that design stuff like the like button on Facebook or things that you can respond to in Twitter. I mean, I don't use Twitter, so I don't really like there's a like or retweet or whatever it is. Basically, the way that these apps were designed were to really give you a hit of dopamine whenever someone responded to you, whenever someone gave you a like, or you had this, like Facebook, you know, you have the notification buttons, like when you have a message and when you have a friend request or like someone commented, it's red, right? Actually, before it was in blue, and they found that, people found that, like, oh, they didn't really respond or didn't care so much because actually the color blue doesn't draw your attention as much. Red is like more of a natural, hey, stop, pay attention to red. That's why there's a lot of things that are red. You're like, oh, you know, we're just conditioned to be like that. And so these designers of these social apps, they designed it such that, or they probably didn't realize it, but what they did was to draw on this need for, or to, I guess, exploit or to really pinpoint this need for us to, you know, be recognized. And that's why we get this hit of dopamine when we say, like, oh, hey, I have 5 likes on this new picture that I put on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, I better put more, which means I have to go out and eat more because we're just putting up pictures of food. Now, I rarely post anything on social media anymore just because my life is kind of boring. So I really just use it to follow people, not stalk. But when I did post on social media, actually, I knew exactly what I was trying to do. It wasn't that I wanted to share with people my life. I mean, in some ways it was, but it wasn't this altruistic, hey guys, look at my life. I just want to share insights that I have because to be honest, when back when I was posting on social media, I didn't have any deep insights. I just wanted people to see that I was traveling, I was eating all this crazy food, I was going out enjoying myself, and I knew what I wanted people to do was to pay attention to me. I wanted to draw attention to myself, and I wanted people to go, hey, that's so interesting. Where did you go? Who did you go with? You know, where is this restaurant that you went to? I'm like, oh, you know, you can't really go there. It's like on this beach in this really far-flung place of Greece. And I guess you could go, but I mean, you would have to travel, and it takes so much time. And, you know, you're busy at your job all the time. You don't get to travel like I do. And so I wanted that kind of attention to me, right? And Facebook, you know, Instagram, you guys got me good. But the thing I wanted people to see was that, hey, I was very interesting. And I realized that I just wanted people to, or not people, but I wanted to bask in my own glory. I wanted to feel like, yeah, I'm something special. And as I was thinking about this and just reflecting on this passage, I came upon a realization. You don't have to turn here, but Genesis 1:26, God says, as he's making creation, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And when I thought about this, you know, this really means the character of God has been, I don't know if transferred is the best theological term to use, but he's instilled us, he's given us his characteristics, his qualities, his traits, his image, because we are made in his image and in his likeness. So how he's like, we are like. Or at least that was the original design, right? How he is, we are to be holy, for he is holy. He's created us to be that. And unfortunately, sin wraps it and twists it. Is wrap? Warps. Sorry, just flip the two letters. But what that means is that we have his attributes, we have his characteristics, his tendencies. And as I was thinking about this, I'm thinking, okay, if what we do on social media is actually to, a lot of what we do on social media is actually to draw attention to us. We want people to see what we're doing. I'm like, where does that come from? You know, where does this desire, this need to want people to pay attention to us, where does that come from? It doesn't just come from anywhere, because everything that was created, everything that we see, everything that we think, everything that we feel, everything that we say, comes from somewhere. And we know that as Christians, that comes from God. Because nothing that exists came to be without God. And so I came to this conclusion that this desire for, you know, for this pursuit for likes, this pursuit for people to hit retweet or whatever it is, that's something that God has given to us. That's something that God has designed mankind to have, how he's designed mankind to function. Now, you can argue that, you know, this isn't really the case, because God doesn't want you just, it's not this self-aggrandizement that he wants you to do. It's not something, he doesn't want you to seek for your own glory. And that's true. And that's part of the, that's how sin has come into our lives and changed God's design. How sin has warped God's design. But still, you can see, right? God seeks glory for himself, right? He actually is worthy to do this. You know, that he's the only one that has that true desire to receive glory for himself. And this realization that I have was that God, you know, he shows off his creation to people in order to draw attention to himself. Just like how we show off what we do in our lives, like myself, I would post all these pictures of traveling and like, look at all these places I went to. And, you know, we use our work. We use the places that we've been to, awards that we've won, food that we eat. You know, I say food because that's what we do with a lot of our social media. But we use these things to draw attention to ourselves, right? Our, you know, so quote-unquote creation. And in the same way, God uses his creation to draw attention to himself. Right? We, as mankind, are designed, Our original function is to draw glory to God. But unlike us, where we, you know, really don't deserve, or I wouldn't say we don't deserve, but we have twisted God's design. God is really, truly worthy of all the glory that he receives. His intention is true because he is deserving of all the glory that he gets because he is holy. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. He is pure. And this is what we have in Ephesians, in our passage that we read today. There's so much in this passage, but the one thing that I wanted to focus on is actually three specific verses, and it all talks about the same thing. It says, the praise of the glory of his grace, in verse 6, verse 12, to the praise of his glory, and verse 14, to the praise of his glory. So Paul, in writing in Ephesians, he repeats this three times in 14 verses. Pretty much the same verse or the same phrase. He repeats it three times, which in 14 verses is pretty important. Because what he's saying, he does all this for you to the praise of his glory. He doesn't do it just because, I feel like doing it. I think it'll be beneficial for them, which it is. But the purpose of this is to the praise of his glory, which should give us an idea of why, like, why did God do all of this? And, you know, sometimes as when I was younger, I was told, you know, the purpose of life, the purpose of mankind is to worship God, to glorify God. And, you know, as a teenager, I'm like, okay, I guess. But that seems like an awful big waste of, like, why did God do all this? Just to praise him, right? And as I've come to grow in faith, I realize more and more, like, yeah, that is the real reason. And I understand more of just how important it is to praise him. And This is Paul's major point. All of this, all of creation, all of, you know, SP, this wonderful sanctuary, our beautiful new office, you know, come up, take a look. It's actually very interesting or very cool. Don't be afraid of the desk when you first see them. It is very high, but the staff are getting used to it. But Paul's point is that everything that we do, everything that God has given us, everything that is and will ever be, is to the praise of God's glory. It's in order to bring glory to himself. And unlike us, as I mentioned, it's not this it's not a selfish glorification that God is seeking. Right? He's not trying to exploit his creation in order to draw attention to himself. And we know this, right? Because we are blessed. Right? He blesses us. And a lot of times we take blessing like, yes, it's all for me. I get the glory out to myself. But for God, he gives us that glory and he wants us to reflect that glory back to him. And a lot of times, even when we don't want to, that glory will, in his providence, will actually just automatically reflect back up to him. Even if we don't pray, even if we don't worship, even if we don't praise, even if we don't outwardly or explicitly or intentionally give glory back to him, we do it anyways. God's providence always finds a way. Even if we don't cry out, the rocks and the stones will cry out. All creation sings his praise and they give glory to him. But it's this point of, you know, it's not so much about us, but it's more about God. He doesn't exploit. It's not the selfish thing that he's doing. It's not because, I need it. I'm so insecure. I need your praise. Because if he really needed it, if he really needs that praise, he won't care so much about how he does it, right? He'll just be like, all right, you give me praise, I'm going to discard you. You're not important to me. You've done your purpose. You know, go away now. He doesn't exploit his creation in order to draw the praise to him. Have you guys heard of a group called Band-Aid? No, not Band-Aid. As in, I asked my college students this, and I'm like, hey, have you guys heard of Band-Aid? And like, yeah, we put it on when we hurt ourselves. I'm like, no, Band-Aid. And I'm like, yeah, you know, when we hurt ourselves. And I have to explain to them it was a band back in the 80s. I feel like I have to explain to some of you, Band-Aid, maybe some of the older ones in here. But basically, it's a super group that was formed in the 80s, musicians. So like Bono is part of it, Phil Collins, Sting, George Michael. Getting some, yeah. And this was in response to the famine in Ethiopia back in the 80s. And so they formed this group together for charity to create this album, to record this album, to raise money for the famine efforts. And they eventually sold over 2 million records and made like $24 million, which, I mean, back then it was quite a bit of money. And, you know, which is great. They raised money for famine and they raised awareness. But despite that, there are so many criticisms of them. And, you know, some of the stuff that I was reading, I'm like, yeah, I can see that, right? The criticism of their efforts, it was more a spectacle, and it was more about the band and more about the celebrities that came together to raise funds as opposed to who they were raising funds for. Right? Band-Aid, we were like, yeah, we know Band-Aid, for those who know, right? But are we aware of what was happening in Ethiopia? We think Band-Aid, yeah, they did something. They raised money for some poverty cause. And I'm like, we don't know what the poverty cause was. I forgot it was actually for Ethiopia. I just knew that it was somewhere in Africa. Because in the 80s, the rage for, you know, charity was Africa. But, the, you know, one of the songs that they recorded, you know, Do They Know It's Christmas Time At All? We know that song, right? Do they know it's Christmas time at all? Okay, I'm not going to sing it. But this, even this lyric in itself, right, it's very exploitative. Do they know it's Christmas time at all in Africa? Like this UK, this Western conception of what Christmas is, where there's a turkey, there's trees and jingle bells and Santa Claus, and do they know that it's Christmas time at all, that we celebrate this? I'm like, no, dummy, they don't have any food. How are they going to start thinking about having goose when they don't even have grain? Like the basic things. So of course not. So it was more about them, the group, who the writers were. I'm like, hey, let's get together. You know, they were very well-intentioned. But to be honest, what ended up happening is they exploited this cause in order to bring attention to themselves. God does not exploit humans when bringing glory to himself. Even though he, you know, quote unquote, uses us, right? It's not this use where he discards us. It's not to exploit, right? And Ephesians 1, verses 1 to 14 makes this very, very clear. There's actually, you know, like I said, there's so much in here, and this is just one angle of it, but, you know, verse 3, okay, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places he has blessed us with. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless, that we would be perfect, that we would be good. Right? He planned this before even he created the world. See, God doesn't exist in time. He created time for us. So he already knew what would happen, meaning that he would know that we would fail, we would sin, we would turn against him, we would exploit him, we would try to get everything from him and not pay attention to him after we got it. He knew all of this, and yet he said, you are still going to be holy and blameless. I am still going to bless you. Now, how is that exploiting us, right? He predestined us for adoption as sons. He made known to us the mystery of his will. He told us exactly what would happen. He told us his plan. I'm going to tell you how you guys are going to succeed. I'm going to tell you guys what's going to happen at the end. You guys win. You guys are going to be blessed. You guys are going to rule with Christ at the end of the world. And I'm going to make sure this happens. I'm going to decree that this is going to happen even before you exist, even before anything exists. There's nothing that could influence this except me. I choose to do this for you. And that's what God has done for us. We are blessed because he wants us to be blessed. And when I reflect upon this, I hear these words and I think like, man, even in this, knowing that he has poured out his love on us, he has lavished on us, he has freely bestowed on us his grace, his love, his mercy, his goodness. I'm like, how can you not praise God for this? Right? It's not, I think that's the word for us today is, how can you not? God is such a good God. When you realize how far in advance, it's not even a matter of time. Right? I've been actually reading a lot of this in my class lately where this idea of time is just such a human understanding. It's not God's understanding. But after realizing this, I'm like, how can you not praise him? Of course you're going to praise him. Of course you're going to direct your glory to him. And that happens when we take ourselves out of our own lives and we take a step back and realize, like, all right, let me look at this from God's angle. That, you know, it's good that we say, and we do, this thing of we are blessed to be a blessing. When God blesses us, we want to take those blessings and bless others. But, you know, it's not so much about what we do for other people. Right? It's like, at least from this particular passage and from the way I'm reading it, it's not so much like, okay, let's take all this and let's bless others. Right? Let's try not to exploit people. Let's try to be the best that we can do. Let's help without hurting. Take that class, by the way. But he's done all this so that we can point back to him. You know, he's given us salvation. Jesus Christ has come down to freely bestow onto us. He lowered himself. He voluntarily came down, made himself man. He voluntarily limited himself to die on the cross, to suffer, to endure pain, so that we can have this. And in the process, praise him as well. This really is, in Matthew 5:16 goes, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. Does it end there? No. It's not for us, right? They may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, let your light shine. This idea of light throughout the New Testament is just let your truth shine. Let this holiness, let this pureness in you shine. And that only comes from Jesus. Let this light shine. Let what Jesus has done for you, let what Jesus has transformed your life into, let that shine so that people may see it. People may see how you live. People may see how you act. People may see how you glorify God. And like, man, how does this guy glorify God? How is he so joyful all the time? And Ephesians really takes this passage in Matthew one step further. This is not about, again, what I said, not about what we can do to praise God. It's not about us. Right? This passage isn't written from the perspective, this is what you can do. This is what you should do. These are options available. It's not about us. You know, it's good that we praise God. Right? Actually, you know, we should praise God. But the focus of this is really what God has done. And really, it's how we should actually start reading the Bible. It's like, let me read this from God's perspective as opposed to how can I, it's not that, you know, what can I take away so that my life is better? You know, it's not even how can I glorify God better? That's a good endeavor and a good way, but really we should read from what is God's perspective in this? What is God saying? Not just about me, but what is God saying in general? See, this is about what God has done to draw glory and praise to himself. He's given us all these benefits to emphasize just how deserving of glory that he is. He didn't have to do any of this. And he didn't have to predestine us to be holy and blameless before the creation of the world. He didn't. He was perfectly content before the creation of the world. He existed, you know, in our human understanding. He existed before time began. From eternity before time began, and he will continue to exist in eternity after time ends. If, hypothetically speaking, he decided to wipe out the world, every single of his creation, right, and we were no longer to exist, he would still be perfectly content. So he doesn't have to do this, and yet he does. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Of course I would praise him for that. He doesn't have to do any of this. And so as we reflect today, I'm going to invite Cindy up to lead us in worship. As I was on my way here today, I was thinking, man, this could go one of two ways. One, it could come as a very strong rebuke. You know, are you glorifying God with your life? What are you doing with your life? You know, I'm like, no, let's not do that. Right? Because the whole point isn't to beat you over the brow and be like, hey, you're doing something wrong. You're not doing enough. I'm like, no. God says, I chose you before the foundation of the world. I have blessed you. And hopefully, these blessings, everything that he's done in your life, hopefully this leads you to praise him, to worship him, to say to him, God, you're so wonderful. Lord, thank you so much. Jesus, thank you for coming and dying on the cross and enduring all the shame, all the guilt, enduring all the pain so that I may have life. And that's what it means to the praise of his glory. That we sing, that we live our lives in gratitude, in faithfulness, that we live our lives full of mercy and grace for others because we want to honor God. We want to praise him. This is all for him. So as we worship, as we pray, and let God speak to you, let Holy Spirit speak to you and direct you. How can you, or just let him direct you, you know, just to praise him, just to worship him this morning.
So teach my song to rise to you. temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, stand off all on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one deep, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Let's pray. Father, we lift up our praises, God, the praise of your glory, God, for all that you've done, how you've redeemed us, how you've given us salvation, how you've given us the gift of repentance, God, how you've enlightened us, opened our eyes, God, to see who we are, God, and enabled us, Lord, to receive the word, God, the truth, to receive Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we have life and life in abundance, Lord. And we praise you, God, that this is all for you, Lord. May your name be known through our lives, Lord. We thank you, God. Turning to our community prayer focus, let's pray for those in our community that are suffering from cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy as well as surgery. Let's pray for those in our community that are sick and also need to receive the word of Christ and salvation in their lives. Pray for those who are suffering from various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing upon them and just perseverance as they continue to pray for recovery and healing. Let's lift up those in our community that are looking for jobs. Let's pray for, again, perseverance and just for God to providentially open up doors and for them to know that God is watching over them. Turning to our mission focus, let's pray for SPSG, led by P. Sam Kim, SPIN, SP Indonesia, Pastor Salamat, and SPNY, with our lay leaders Ruth and Jess. Let's really just pray for God, for His presence to be in these congregations and for people to be transformed and for people that come in to just really experience the love of God in these churches. Pray for our education department, Noah's Ark, led by Pastor Mary Yeeling, SP Youth, Pastor Nate, and the college group by myself. Let's just really pray that the students throughout all these age groups are being able to see God in the teaching and in just all the programs that we have, that they are able to experience God, even from a young age. So let's pray. Pray for the Prayer and Healing Ministries, IP, led by Matt Well, led by Piriki, and River, led by Rachel. Let's really pray for the people that come through these ministries, that they receive God's full healing, that God's healing is manifested in these ministries. Pray for outreaches tonight, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. So lift up house churches for tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood. Let's really pray that it's a good time of discussion, good time of fellowship, and that each individual house church can continue drawing closer to one another in their community. Father, we thank you, Almighty God. We are so grateful and we're so thankful that you have blessed us with so much, God, that you don't use us and discard us, but that you keep us so close to you, Lord, that you love us so much that you want the best for us, God, and that you have planned the best for us. So, Father, we thank you, God. May we reflect all the goodness that we have received from you back to you. May we praise you and just attribute everything that is good in our lives to you. Everything that we have, may we give it back to you, God. May we praise you, for you are worthy. You are deserving of all praise, Father. May we live our lives with a purpose and a single intention to be single-minded, to lift your name up on high so that others may know. So we thank you, Lord. Be with us today. Keep us warm and walk with us today. We thank you, Father. In your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.